Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Stop recording.
Okay.
It is full time here in the pre-season friendly. Everton have won 3-0. Oh, 4-0, 4-0. There are kids everywhere on the pitch again. It's like Crystal Palace all over again, this. There's a few Kiev players coming over to the Gladys Street and applauding. Pitch is full of children again. Mark Moosey, do you want to describe what we're seeing right now?
All I can take from that is that I don't know who Paul is, but we need a backup striker immediately.
And great finish.
I've seen more from Paul Stratton than I've seen from Solomon Rondon in the last 24 months.
That's Ben.
I mean, if I was to entrust someone in the 93rd minute at Chelsea at home next week, I'd probably put my faith in Paul over Solomon. But yeah, it's a good win, a clean sheet, a few goals.
All right, the manager.
And Paul will have a chat about your terms after the game.
Everyone's getting off the pitch now. There's going to be something nice happening here. Some of these children are definitely a lot older than the actual children, I think.
Is there anything higher up on a groundsman's pecking order of nightmares than a pre-season pitch invasion? Having spent 3 months tirelessly getting the grass to the millimetre perfect, some utter whopper goes on after a Dar scores a 90th minute fourth. Welcome back to Everton.
Is it four nil in the end? Are we saying officially four?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think
four's on the books.
Non-pro goals count double, so I'm taking that as a five-goal haul.
Uh, That's Frank Lampard. Off shortly, Mose. Before we go, talk about this properly. Dwight McNeil, fantastic, wasn't he, when he came on?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, all of the focus will go towards the two goals that were scored, but he just looks like someone who's comfortable with the football at his feet. I know that sounds like an incredibly basic point, but having, in particular, midfielders and creative midfielders who are comfortable on the ball, quite natural strikers of a football, that has not been an easy task for Everton in terms of their recruitment policy in the last few years. And you know, I'm not going to base the success of this lad on 25 minutes against Kiev in a friendly, but
I am.
I mean, yeah, we are, absolutely. And more of that to follow. But he looks like someone who will relatively effortlessly slide into this side. And you know, on the back of that sentence, we are 8 days away from raising the curtain on Everton's Premier League season. Is anyone here or is anyone at home going to decide that Dwight McNeil does not start that game? Probably not. You know, hopefully what he does on the training pitch in the next 6 or 7 days works on the 25 minutes that we've seen tonight. And you know, if we're to get a little bit of the comfortability on the ball, the goal return that we've seen tonight, the assist that we know we've got in him and his ability to find people like Calvert-Lewin, I don't see how that doesn't work for a 22-year-old midfielder who we all hope has got the entire future of his career at his feet at the moment.
We'll leave it to Strange to imagine, and then we'll have the Strange of the Denby Castle as well. So,
well, Paul Stratton has dreamed all of his life of those sorts of balls coming into the box from Dwight McNeil, and I'm just glad that we've managed to put the two together finally.
Very bizarre situation at the end there, but yeah, we'll be back very shortly here on the Blue Room. Denby Castle now, relatively quiet. Matt Lusk, the absolute hero, got everyone a bevy. Ours are probably flat now after all the train chaos.
And for clarity, it is one hell of a lot quieter than the last time that we were in this pub.
It's bizarre, isn't it, to think that was actually a thing.
Yeah, I think from a, you know, from a social point of view and from a footballing point of view, this typical last friendly of the pre-season campaign,
yeah,
is obviously the point where it resonates, isn't it? Where the joy / misery of the footballing side of your life returns. But this side of it, I think we can all absolutely get on board with.
Do you feel better about the season after that tonight? Or worse, or about the same? Because I think after Blackpool, as much as they won, we were both quite concerned about the lack of additions, parts of the team. I think tonight we played against a team, obviously, who were there without much competitive football themselves, and I think that showed late on especially, but it did feel like there were a lot of, certainly from the new lads, and I'm talking about Tarkowski and McNeil in particular, but then obviously Vinagre as well with that assist he got, but it felt like it was a bit more bright, a bit more adventure, and a bit more sharpness from Everton all round in the game today.
Yeah, I think, you know, from the offset, Dynamo Kiev obviously poised a lot more threats in every area of the pitch than Blackpool did. And I think that there was an enormous chunk of tongue-in-cheek about coming out of Blackpool at the weekend, wasn't there, in terms of, you know, we've seen a team play some okay football, score four goals, be relatively comfortable. But I don't think there was a great deal of takeaways from that game at the weekend, whereas, as you say tonight, as much as we're all not getting carried away with what is, let's put it out there, a 4-0 win and not a 3-0 well, win.
Everton's official sides will beg to differ on that.
I've said countless times that I will cherish every moment in Goodison Park in its final two seasons, and every time that net so much as ripples in the wind, I will celebrate an Everton goal. So yes, 4-0. But yeah, there was some takeaways from tonight. There was a lot of things that I thought I want to see at Chelsea on Saturday. There's some things that I thought, you know what, that worked tonight, but it absolutely won't work at the weekend. And I think, it, you know, the obvious big thing for me tonight was we managed to get two new lads on the pitch. A few young lads towards the end as well. But, you know, it's all going to be about Dwight McNeil. Two good goals. One that I think was, for all of the optimistic McNeil fans, was the type of goal that you absolutely want to see him score. Coming in from the right wing, a couple of good touches with the left foot, and that moment of silence in the Gladys Street that we experienced, where you saw the lad take a backswing and thought, there's absolutely no way he doesn't hit the target here. We said in the ground about the purpose and the clarity with which he strikes a football, that whether that is having a shot on goal or putting an assist in for Calvert-Lewin or any other attacking player, that's the winger that we hope that Everton are able to unleash in himself. I think I'm totally on board with bringing him into the football club even before tonight, but I think that the one thing that we wanted to invest in as an idea of this footballer was that he's had the shackles on him at Burnley.
Yeah.
Whether that's because of the nature of the football club or the nature of the manager that he's played for, we hope that Everton will be that unleash for him, that element of freedom that he's able to play in his game. And yeah, you can see that there was an enjoyment there on the ball tonight, and whether that is just the debut bounce that you'll get from any player, but he looked like he wanted to integrate well with other players, he wanted to be on the ball, he wanted to go forward. You know, I'm trying to make a serious point about an incoming Everton player here, but if Matt Fudge sits down with sunglasses,
do you want any hoodie as well?
But I think he's obviously, and you know, to echo what I said in the ground about him, I don't think it's too knee-jerk now to say, is there a way in which we can leave him out of that starting 11 at the weekend? Because we've cried out for players with an element of productivity. You know, I don't think as Evertonians we can watch an attacking player come and have that level of impact and score two good goals and be fairly involved in all of our good build-up play in the second half and say, you're not going to be part of that at the weekend. I think we've seen, probably not tonight, but in his time at Burnley, that he's got a fair level of industry about his game as well. And I'm fully ready to pass over to Matt to disagree with everything I've just said.
Well, Matt was saying in the pub before the game that he thinks Dwight McNeil's awful and we should never have signed him, and it's a terrible acquisition. He's looking at me very sternly there, but no, that was a hyperbole a bit, mate, but you were sceptical about the acquisition. Did anything tonight change your mind?
I mean, in the long run, it's far too soon to say, but in the short run, like Mo said, in terms of the next game, you would be a hard-headed idiot if you didn't at least consider him for, if not a starting place, first sub on 55 minutes, 60 minutes, whatever. We all know early season, you make early subs, people aren't fit and everything like that. You know, you don't wait until the 85th minute. So if he comes off the bench on 55 minutes, 60 minutes, I'll be fine with that. If he starts the game, I'll be fine with that, because I'm big enough to hold my hands up and say, yeah, he played very well tonight. He was exciting to watch. He was a joy to watch. He looked like he had the bit between his teeth. I mean, if he
wanted the ball, I thought.
Tell you what, if he'd signed 10 days ago and he played like that tonight, I thought, all right, yeah, fair play. he signed a matter of hours ago. And to come out on the pitch and play like that, it's like, okay, right, this guy's got a point to prove. Like, he knows there are people like me out there who are calling him Shite McNeil. And he's like, I'm going to bury you. I'm going to prove you wrong. And you know what? Fair play.
Are you taking credit for Dwight McNeil's debut?
I am absolutely taking credit, yeah. Absolutely. It's all on me. Subscribe, follow, like, retweet. No, but seriously, I mean, he couldn't have done any more, could he? So, yeah, I'm not going to hold my hands up and say I was wrong about him as a player long term, but in the short term, I would not. If he was to be in the starting 11 against Chelsea, I wouldn't burn the place down. And that might be damning with faint praise for some people, but I mean, yeah, he's done as much as he can, and fair play to the lads.
The only player most really good tonight again. We said same sort of things about him against Blackpool. James Tarkowski playing on the left of that back three again. I think he said at the weekend, I think it'd be harsh to describe him as a no-nonsense defender, and I think we saw a bit more of that tonight. I think he's just a good footballer who is a defender who does the basics really well, you know, covers really well, uses the ball really well, puts his head in really well, just an all-round good footballer and a good centre-half by the looks of it.
If he wasn't a new player, I'd have come away from that game tonight and not said a word about him.
Yeah.
And I think that's everything that you need from a centre-half, especially, you know, we're given a fair degree of football and leniency to these centre-halves at the moment by playing three of them. I think Tarkowski is, for my money, from what we've seen at Burnley, he's comfortable of playing in a two. But I think for all of those other centre-halves that we've got in Keane, Godfrey and Holgate in particular, who we saw tonight, they all very much suit that support of having two other centre-halves alongside them. But Tarkowski's just head and shoulders, isn't he? Aerially, vocally, I think if anyone watched him at set pieces tonight in particular, he is the voice, he is the leader of that team. Whether he's wearing a black and white piece of fabric around his arm or not, he is the man, and he is very quickly becoming, I think I described him last week as a bigger brother of this football team, and instantly has that leadership impact. The tackle that we saw in the first half from him.
Well, I missed this because I was down getting a bevy, just describe it in all colour for me, please.
I mean, I can't. It was preceded by a pretty good piece of covering defending. I can't remember the actual piece of build-up play that led to it, but he came across the six-yard box and kind of cleaned one particular passage of play up and decided to just end the next passage of play with the most aggressive scissoring slide tackle that you've ever seen in a pre-season friendly, to the point where within 7 seconds of the Dynamo Kiev left winger hitting the floor, the physio was doing the classic rolling of the fingers substitution sign to the bench. It's like, this man has died, unfortunately. We're going to need another footballer. But, you know, if you want to call that over the top in a friendly, then, you know, fair play to you. But that,
no friendlies.
I mean, that's his mindset though, Matt, isn't it? There is a level of assertiveness and a level of aggression, in all honesty, that centre-halves need to have. And that is something that, do you know what? Again, whether it's right or wrong tonight, there's no way that Michael Keane goes across and puts an almighty challenge in that game. And, you know, there's no way he does that in a Premier League game either. It's the inert defender within him that makes him do that. And there's an element of that defensive style to Tarkowski that you just can't take away, whether it's against Dynamo Kiev on a Friday night in a friendly, or if it's in training against Damari Gray on Tuesday morning. You know, you will never take that level of that baseline defending off him. And that's exactly what we want to see. You know, if it's a bit too much for a friendly, then that's fine. But if it's volleying Kai Havertz up in the air on Saturday afternoon, then no one really cares, do they? But yeah, I think, you know, he's got that element to his game. He's got a level on the ball that I think we're all comfortable with. I think, you know, I could point fingers at other central defenders tonight that played and think, well, I am fully aware of how poor you are on the ball. You know, Keane and Holgate given a chance away in the second half.
Godfrey tonight, mate.
Godfrey, you know, for the fact that he's built like a fruit machine and he can run through teams at will, but if you ask him to play a pass like he tried to do to Anthony Gordon on the left wing tonight, then it's obviously not going to work. But he's someone who mentally I'm not even thinking about as a new Everton footballer at the moment. I'm looking at Dwight McNeil and I'm looking at Vinagre at left back, and I'm trying to determine how important and how focal they can be, but I'm no longer in any way worried about James Tarkowski, because he instantly for me is probably the first name on the team sheet in terms of people you're comfortable with at the weekend.
First outfield name, sure.
First outfield name,
To go further than that and credit someone like Jordan Pickford, he's not even a thing we need to talk about anymore. He's just that good.
Now, you talk about Tarkowski's tackle, and like I'm drawing my experience as a scientist in that I didn't see the phenomenon itself. I saw the effects of it. So there was just this ripple and then this standing ovation, and I wasn't paying attention for a fraction of a second. So I stood up, I was in the lower Gladys, and everyone's like on the feet clapping, and I just look and I just see this Dynamo Kiev player on the floor just like clutching every single part of his body he could. I'm thinking, what the hell's going on here? Like, this is a charity match. What the hell has gone on here? And then told the fellow next to me, he's like, oh yeah, that's how Kostya just did it. I was like, alright, fair play. Huh? There are no friendlies.
It was one of those free hit sliding tackles that central defender will do, where you think, I know my foot has hit the ball first here, but I've got absolute license to go through this footballer like he's not even there.
And obviously, in recent memory, we know Tarkovsky got that in his locker.
Yes.
So he knows the line. He knows what he can get away with. And that could be a very useful asset for us this season. Yeah. Just that little bit of needle, that little right on the cusp. Referee at a push might give a yellow. Yeah. If not, might just not even give a free kick, as was the case with the fella whose name we won't mention because he's no longer part of the squad.
Yeah. Speaking of just before we move on from him, the kind of Jagielka parallels that we spoke about there, that kind of cross-field 70-yard lofted pass is definitely, you know, it's either naturally in his locker or it's something that Everton are actively working on, because we obviously saw it towards Patterson at Blackpool at the weekend. We saw him in particular trying to free up Patterson tonight, a little bit from the other side of the defence towards Vitaly Mykhailenko. But I think that if you are going to play that three at the back, then you have to recognise that you are very suddenly playing five in midfield, and those two wide players need to be very much involved in your attacking play.
It just goes on every defender, doesn't it, by extra 10% to be more attacking when you're playing five at the back.
Yeah,
everybody
so
has to be a bit better on the ball.
Yeah.
Everybody has to be a bit more, especially the wing backs, obviously, but even the centre backs need, you've got to have more space on the ball, so you need to be a little bit more incisive and creative with the way you play.
And that centre back, the CCB, if you will.
Yeah.
They have to be absolutely faultless, because they're the one who, when the back splits and the wing backs go forward, they've got to cover basically two positions.
Yeah.
They need to be absolutely impeccable. And maybe we've got that, maybe we haven't, but...
Well, we've got one of them, but he can't stay fit, unfortunately.
Well, yeah.
If we were gonna nitpick at the five at the back, and, you know, as Evertonians in a pre-season friendly, we are absolutely here to do that. I'd probably look at the two fullbacks and think, you know, given the nature of the system that we are now playing, we said it at the weekend, there is so much emphasis on those fullbacks just being generally brilliant in every area of the game. I think coming back towards his own goal in particular, Mykhailenko has shown enough last season to make me think that that's not too much of an issue. I don't think any of us are going to sit here and say, you know, what type of footballer Nathan Patterson is. Because
he didn't really get into the game at all tonight, did he?
We've got so much to learn about him. You know, a couple of nice touches in the second half coming towards us in the Gladys Street, but I don't really think there's anything that we can sink our teeth into as being that's the footballer that we're going to see this year.
But if there was two very faintly drawn question marks on that performance tonight, I'd probably say, well, you two have still got to prove to me that you are capable of being a really important part of this system. You know, there's emphasis loaded onto certain areas of a 5-3-2 or a 3-5-2. Fullbacks is absolutely one of them. Your midfield two is absolutely one of them as well. You know, it was lovely seeing Alex Iwobi and Decore occasionally picking the ball up in the middle of the park tonight, but you need someone who's a bit more nitty gritty and a bit
really
more.
I don't really think that worked tonight. No. I think Iwobi had a great. Well, times where you thought, yeah, here we go, and then
there's not many twos in the Premier League starting 11s that you think that those two would be comfortable against. You know, we had a brief conversation about Idrissa Gueye tonight, who obviously Everton have been linked with this week. If Everton sign him in the next 7 days, he plays against Chelsea for me, because we are that desperate for that stereotypical six ball winning intercepting central midfielder.
Why not Alan?
You know, I think we've seen enough of him now to say that I'm not willing to put that level of trust in him. You know, granted, I've not seen Idrissa Gueye in person for, what, 3 seasons now, but Alan, yes, granted, has done it on occasion last season, but we're talking about the future of the football team now. Is Alan that? You know,
he's gone at that though, 33.
No, I think that's fair, but if I was to have this kind of gatekeeping night watchman of a six playing in that sweeping central midfielder role, I'm probably going off sentimentality and history here, but I'd rather have Idrissa Gueye in there, the Idrissa Gueye that I know, than the Alan that I seen again in a pre-season friendly tonight dawdle on the ball and get caught out. And I was one of his biggest fans when he came in, but I'm probably still looking at him as a footballer saying, what's he great at? What's the one thing that I'm, you know, he's in the top four in this squad of being really good at. And right now, I honestly don't know where he fits in.
I wouldn't even say that. I'd say two things. One is, there's a risk that you and others are remembering the Idrissa Gueye you want to remember rather than the one that actually was. No, but I'm talking about the Idrissa Gueye we had.
Yeah, yeah.
He was never a natural number six. He wasn't. He was more of a Decore player.
Yeah.
And the other thing we need to remember is, like, when you talk about not starting Alan, assuming he's fit, I'm thinking we need to sign a completely new player to start in that position.
Yeah.
You're effectively saying he's shite. You're effectively saying he's not fit to start ever for this club. And I think that's a big... I don't think Alan's a fantastic player,
yeah,
but I think he's enough to do a job.
I'd go back on that and say, if we had the squad that we do now in 8 days' time, I think Alan starts. But I'm not. That's not me saying that I think he's the right man to start. I think given the nature of the footballer that he is probably the only one of those players that we have. I don't think you can go into that game against Chelsea and not play a stereotypical holding midfielder, so he does have to play. You know, I totally get what you're saying about Idrissa Gueye. It's not going to be a Blue Room podcast if we don't mention Ross Barkley, and I think it's exactly the same argument, isn't it? I was going to throw the microphone across the room, but he is the epitome of the argument of the footballer that you remember or wanted to develop a few years ago. You know, I get your point about Idrissa Gueye, but
I feel like we're focusing too much on the idea of Idrissa Gueye rather than the reality.
Yeah, but in that point, do we not have to sign someone who fits that idea? Because I like to think that we know that that's an idea.
It's not my job to find that player. It's Kevin Bellwell's.
Yeah, well,
and at the moment, it looks like his entire job description is watching match of the day.
I mean, we say this now, but we haven't seen the highlights of Burnley's match against Huddersfield tonight. Until we've seen who played at centre midfield for Burnley tonight, we'll not know whether better is out there.
Is Stephen DeFore still there? You know, maybe get him in. You know, after all these years, but no, fascinating stuff.
Which
is ours. Fascinating stuff for everyone. It's just a case, not an Everton player, yeah, we need to stress, but, you know, it might happen. Might happen in the coming days, but we'll see. But, you know, Everton won tonight, 4/3-0, maybe?
3.5-0
at the Toffees tonight.
I don't even know what happened with that.
We'll tell you when we finish recording, but we'll leave it there. That's it from Matt, Mark, and another Matt. We've got a John with us as well. It's like the New Testament, isn't it? You see the Luke one in. But yeah, we'll be back again in the week. We'll be back after the Chelsea game. You won't be back, will you, Mo? Are you going to see Book of Mormon?
Oh, no. I mean, as much as I am looking forward to that and appeasing my wife, I will be at the Chelsea game beforehand.
Okay, so you won't be on post-match, though.
Definitely just said appeasing my wife on a podcast as well.
We'll leave it there anyway. Cheers to the lads. We're at the Denby Castle, which is wonderful. You should all come for the Chelsea game. Or just come after it. It'll be absolutely bouncing. And yeah, we'll speak to you again soon here on the Blue Room on the Toffees. Sports Social Podcast Network.